Ask any 10 people who've co-signed a loan, and almost half will tell you it was a bad financial decision.
Hi, I'm Rob West.
When the Bible tells you not to do something, it's a good idea not to. And that's definitely the case with co-signing. But a lot of folks still do it, and I'll have some advice for them today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We get this question from time to time. I've co-signed on a car loan for my nephew, and he's not making the payments. What can I do? Or variations on that theme. I think we'd hear from a lot more folks who've done this, but they're embarrassed about admitting to it. And it's sad because the only reason someone would co-sign a loan is to help someone else. Far too often, it doesn't end well. At least one survey shows that if you co-sign, you have a 40% chance of having to pay the loan yourself because the primary signer either can't or won't make the payments. And if that's not bad enough, it's usually a family member or friend who will leave you holding the bag, damaging your relationship as well as your finances. Now, the best way to keep that from happening is to simply not do it. Remember the Ben Franklin quote, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure"? He was actually talking about fire safety at the time, but the concept certainly applies to co-signing today, which could burn down your finances. The best way to get out of it is to never get into it. By the way, it seems Mr. Franklin actually borrowed that ounce of prevention idea from Proverbs 22:30, which reads, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." And unlike Ben Franklin, the Bible actually does have a lot to say specifically about co-signing. And for good reason. Christians are often confused about co-signing. The Bible tells us to care for our family and neighbors, to help those who can't help themselves. Wouldn't that include helping someone get a loan? The Bible says no, and leaves no room for misinterpretation. It warns us over and over not to do it. Proverbs 11:15 says not to pledge surety for another, meaning don't co-sign a loan for another who doesn't qualify on his own. And Proverbs 17:18 reads, "One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor." Then in Proverbs 22:26 and 27, we find, "Be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you?" I mentioned that 4 in 10 people who co-sign get stuck paying off the loan, but studies also show that nearly a third suffer damage to their credit, and a quarter say the experience damaged their relationship with the primary signer. Proverbs isn't one of the wisdom books for nothing. Okay, by now you're convinced never to co-sign, but what if you've already done it? What can you do about it? Well, understand that none of these is perfect, and they all have varying degrees of pain. The thing you have to remember is that as a co-signer, you're just as responsible for the loan as the primary signer. If that person can't or won't make the payments, there's no way you can walk away from it without severely damaging your credit. The loan must be satisfied. So first, try refinancing. Your legal responsibility to repay the loan goes away if the other person refinances without you. If you or the other person has been making payments for some time, the outstanding balance should now be lower than the original amount. That could allow the primary signer to qualify without you. Next, you can try speeding up the loan payments by offering an incentive to the primary signer. Offer to match any payments he or she makes. You may still end up paying half the loan, but that's better than the whole thing, and it will keep the account in good standing. Now, if the loan was for an automobile, and more than half of them are, you can ask the primary signer to sign the title over to you, and you take possession. Then you'll have use of the vehicle while you're paying it off. You can also sell it at some point and recoup part of your loss. Finally, you can try doing a credit makeover on the primary signer. Help them get on a budget. Teach them the importance of paying bills on time, saving, and being responsible. Eventually, they'll be able to refinance you out of the loan. It's an approach that will have long-lasting, beneficial results. Okay, so those are some of the things you can do if you've co-signed on a loan and you're stuck making the payments. We hope you find them useful. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that 24/7. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. People of faith used to ask a series of questions when they were doing theology. Where is God? How do we know God? What is God? The Bible gives us a lot of answers to these questions. What is God? Jesus answers in John 4, God is spirit. He's not a human. He doesn't have human anatomy. He is spirit. And this means he can be everywhere. Omnipresent, as theologians would say. God is spirit, and Jesus goes on, those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We don't need a special ritual or even a special place. The Lord is spirit. We can worship him wherever we are. He's seeking worshipers. In Christ's grace, we become exactly that. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
If I visualize my problems without God in the picture, I'm depressed. And truly, much praying can be depressing. Because we give God the grocery list of all of our problems and we've forgotten the greatness of the one to whom we pray.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Tender Warrior, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000, and we've got quite a team in place today. Adam, Devin, Jim, all here ready to serve you today. I'm Rob West, and we're taking your calls on anything financial. No matter what's going on in your financial life, we'd love to help you tackle it, make a decision, and move forward with confidence based on God's Word. Here's the big idea. The very best textbook we have going on anything in life, including money management, is God's Word, right? It's always right. It's always relevant. It's never going to change. And as it relates to financial decision-making, well, it transcends everything going on. It doesn't change with the economy or the tax code or the inflation rate. It's there and it's God's Word. And so we apply those principles to what we're thinking about in all areas of life, but that includes God's money so that we can make decisions in line with a biblical worldview. We want to help you do that. We'll be hopeful and encouraging, and we'd love to tackle your question. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, interestingly, mortgage refinance demand is starting to recover slightly after rates have
come off their recent highs. I know many of you are struggling if you're out buying a home, looking for a mortgage, realizing how high these interest rates are right now. They've ticked down slightly, and that's caused refinancing to jump 7% for the week. But we're still 32% lower year over year, and applications for a mortgage to purchase a home fell 1% for the week. The housing market still remaining tight, even despite some of the challenges we have out there and the prospect of a recession, largely because we're still in a shortage situation. We just don't have enough homes in this country to meet the demand by 2 to 3 million, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So despite these high rates, we're going to see a tight housing market continue, but we are seeing refinancing tick up. If you're looking for a mortgage or you need to refinance in this environment, maybe you're out shopping for a home and you just don't have a choice on the interest rate environment you're going to be buying in because you need to make that purchase, well, our friends at Movement Mortgage will be delighted to serve you in all 50 states, and you can be assured that they're aligned with your Christian values. You can learn more at movement.com/faith. All right, we're going to tackle your questions today. Looks like we have one line open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's begin in South Carolina. Jack, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rob, for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have a question regarding a car. I bought a brand new Chevrolet Cruze back in 2014, and I'm going to sell it. And even though I'll be selling it for a fraction of what I paid for it, I wanted to know if I'm expected to pay tithes on that. I don't tithe in order to become a Christian, but because I am saved, you know, I practice tithing, and I just want to do the right thing with that.
Yeah, that's great, Jack. I mean, I think applying the principle of the tithe that we see under the Old Testament law is a great beginning point for our giving, to give a tenth to our local church based on our increase. Now, that's the key word for giving a tithe. It's based on the increase. So in the case of a car, a depreciating asset, we don't have an increase because we buy it for a certain amount. We drive it. It loses value the moment we drive it off the lot, and that value continues to fall unless it's a collectible or something like that. And if we sell it for less than we purchase, well, we have no increase there. So there is no tithe. Now, you can't outgive God. So if the Lord leads you to do some giving, I'd say go for it. But with respect to the principle of the tithe, there would not be a tithe on a sale of a car unless it was, let's say, a collectible you were selling for more than you bought it for. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, Jack. I appreciate your call today. You know, when it comes to giving, boy, I love to talk about giving. Giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. You know, money has a tendency to compete with God for first position in our lives if we allow it to. It can have a grip over our lives, and giving, holding God's money loosely, giving it generously, well, it has a way of causing that grip of money over our lives to be freed. And, you know, as we think about what God would have us to do in this area, I believe we ought to be looking for ways to increase our giving over time, whether we start with a tithe and then use a progressive giving schedule that bumps up that giving 1% a year. Well, that's ultimately between you and the Lord. There's not a right or wrong way here. It's not about legalism or checking a box, but we do recognize that it's a privilege and an opportunity to be partnered with God where He's at work, starting with our local church and then well beyond that. So whether you're giving to American Family Radio or what whatever it might be, you can know that your heart is there and that you're invested in God's activity. We love to talk about generosity. Your questions today, 800-525-7000 to Arkansas. Hey, Warren, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I've got a question about liquidating a 401k account in order to take those funds to pay off an automobile. And then the payments we've been paying on the automobile, apply that to our mortgage to reduce our interest liability over time.
Sure.
And just want to, not knowing what's going to happen in the future with 401k and how much I could grow or lose that money, the math I've done comes out to saving $150,000 in interest over the lifetime of the mortgage.
Hmm. Yeah. So you weren't factoring in compounded growth on that 401k when you did that calculation. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would be the only thing I would say. What is your age?
43.
Okay. And what do you have in that 401k today?
Between my wife and I, we're about the same age. She's got 150 in hers. I've got about 100 in mine, and I'm looking to liquidate about 65 to get to the free cash I need to pay off the automobile.
Okay. And how much of your income collectively are you all putting into 401ks on a monthly basis, percentage-wise?
Currently, I do about 7%. Currently, the company she's with doesn't offer 401k, so hers is from a rollover previous job.
Okay. And are they matching any portion of that 7?
Yeah, I think it's 6%.
Okay, so that 6 would be on top of the 7 you're putting in, or are you factoring that in?
No, that's the 6 on top of my 7.
Okay, yeah. So you've got 13% going into 401ks, but not based on your total income. That's just based on your income alone. So if you factor your wife's income in there, obviously it'd be a fraction of that, depending on what portion she's bringing in. You know, we would love for you to have 10 to 15% going into retirement accounts, just as a rule of thumb. Now, that doesn't replace some real retirement planning, where you actually look at what is it going to take to fund our lifestyle in retirement, and you can use rules of thumb there. Typically, folks live on about 75% of their pre-retirement income. And so if we run the math, we can know, okay, we need this amount in retirement assets to convert that to an income stream that'll last for the rest of our lives alongside retirement and fund our expenses. So I would encourage you to do some of that planning, but just as a rule of thumb, a starting place, 10 to 15% of your total income going into retirement plans would be good. I don't love you pull as much as I want you to be debt free, and I like the idea of you eliminating that payment and then rolling that into the mortgage and all of that. I don't love you pulling that out of the 401k, because you're going to pay a penalty on it of 10%, and it's going to be taxable. So now we add $63,000 to your taxable income for the year, which may push a portion of that up into a higher bracket. It's likely down with everybody else's 401k, so now we don't have a chance for that to recover. You know, that on top of the fact that now that money's not there to compound and grow. I get the interest savings, but I think if we look at the benefit of you continuing to grow that for the future, I like that better. So I want to talk about this more with you. I've got to take a break. You stay right there and we'll pick it up on the other side, Richard.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Got one line open, 800-525-7000 for your calls today. Just before the break, we were talking to Warren in Arkansas. He was thinking about pulling some money out of a 401k to pay off a car so that he can free up that monthly payment and then start putting that toward his mortgage to try to get out of debt quicker. He has run some numbers on the total interest he could save by doing that. What I was saying, Warren, is, you know, that's going to be expensive money, 10% penalty, plus it's all going to be taxable in the year you withdraw it. We don't give it a chance to recover. Your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income plus compounding over time. And, you know, we're missing out on that by pulling that money out. As much as I love for you to be debt-free, my preference would be that you really try to dial back lifestyle to free up margin so that you can go after that car payment more aggressively without having to pull out of the 401k for the reasons that I mentioned. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. The only thing I was thinking of on the tax piece was I'm paying taxes on it now. I'm going to pay taxes when I take it out. And we don't know what taxes look like in the future. Could they be 10% higher now? But the other piece on the compound, I didn't calculate that in. So whatever the annual compound growth is on average, what does that look like in 30 years or whatever? Yeah. So that's the piece I think I'm missing to make all the numbers make sense to me, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. But and going back to the taxes for a second, though, you're right. Tax rates may be higher. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that Trump put in place expire in 2025. So unless we have an administration who's going to continue that, they're going up. But with that penalty, though, you'd have to have a delta of more than 10% for you to be in the money. So even if rates were 10% higher than they are today, you're still break even because of that penalty. So I think for that reason and the compounding, I'd leave that money there. If you want to do anything to accelerate debt payoff and you don't feel like you can squeeze more out of the monthly budget, then maybe back down slightly your new contributions to your 401k as opposed to pulling out. But I would still make sure you put in at least enough to fully maximize the match, but you could back it down to that number maybe temporarily to try to get that car paid off a little quicker. But that would be my best advice, my friend. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Michigan. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to explain this the best I can.
Okay.
If someone wants me to co-sign for a loan, how's this for an idea? Okay. I borrow the money, give it to them if they will co-sign for me, and then make the payments.
Yeah, so
you always go after the co-signer, and that would be him.
Well, they go after whoever has the money. So it really doesn't matter who is maybe in first position, if you will, because as a co-signer, you both are equally responsible for the debt. So in the event that somebody doesn't pay the scheduled payment or pay it off when it comes due, if it balloons at the end, they're going to go after both of you, and whoever, you know, has the ability to pay, that's the, you know, the person that is going to be on the hook for it. And in the event that neither of you pay it, then you're both going to have the damage to your credit report and potentially a judgment against you. So unless I'm missing something with your scenario, and I appreciate you getting creative on this, I don't think it helps that you're doing it and then bringing that person along with you, because again, as a co-signer, you're both equally and fully responsible for the debt.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, what we see, I mean, the reason God's word, I think, is, well, we know God's word is true because the Lord said it, but we see that substantiated in just practice. The Federal Trade Commission tells us that about 50% of the time you co-sign for somebody, you're going to need to step in and make the payments at some point, or the debt is going to default. And that just makes logical sense, right? If they can't qualify on their own, there's a reason for that. They've had poor credit in the past. They don't have good financial disciplines. They don't have the income, the money to support it. So we're actually helping them beyond what the industry standards would say qualify for a loan they wouldn't otherwise qualify for. And so it stands to reason that in about half the cases, we're going to have to step in. The problem is the damage to the relationship. You know, money issues are hard issues. And that the collateral damage to the relationship, I think, is the real problem. So I would say, first of all, just avoid it. And if you ever co-sign for somebody, just go into it on the front end, being ready, willing, and able to step in and pay it off in full. Otherwise, just make it a gift. Richard, appreciate your comments, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. To Georgia. Hi, Sam. Go ahead.
Hey, Bob, quick question. Years ago, I was involved in a building program, and we used church bonds to finance the building. I'm in a congregation now, considering a building program, just looking for some maybe some advice, do's and don'ts, places to consider if we need to borrow money, and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the first question you've got to decide is, are we willing to borrow for this? And you might say, well, I don't think we can do it without it. And that may be true. I was involved in a building campaign as a finance chairman for a large church in South Florida years ago. And we felt like we needed more facilities. It was a $6 million project. And we said, we're only going to pay with cash. And as the money comes in, we're going to do it. The GC, the general contractor, knew that on the front end, that we were going to pay as we go. We were wise about it in terms of not kicking off the project until we had a good bit of it not only committed but in the door. But the GC knew that we may have to slow down or stop at some point if the money's not there, because we're just absolutely committed to being debt-free. Now, I'm not saying that's absolutely how you have to do it, but I think you at least need to have that conversation on the front end around, are we comfortable borrowing for this, or do we want to, you know, pay for it with cash? Beyond that, you know, I think you need to look at a great partner. I would throw out one option for you to consider, and that's a Christian Community Credit Union. They've funded over $1 billion in ministry loans. They'd be a great partner for you on this. And so once you have that conversation about your willingness to borrow, then I'd find a partner that can help you execute on it. Check it out at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. Sam, thanks for your call today. We've got a few lines open, back with more of your questions. 800-525-7000. Stay with us. Much more to come just around the corner.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, if God owns it all, and He does, that makes us stewards or managers of God's money. We want to be found faithful, and we want to help you do that on this program each day. We've got two lines open for your financial questions today, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, which we'll do in just a moment, let me ask you a question. Are you looking to be a good and faithful steward? Well, you're not alone. You can join thousands of others on a similar stewardship journey by signing up for your free FaithFi account today. Whether you've been entrusted with much or maybe you're struggling to make ends meet, we all need tools and people to help us on our stewardship journey, and that's exactly why we built the FaithFi app. It has tools, content, and community to help you grow as a faithful steward of God's resources. So if you haven't already, be sure you check out the FaithFi app today. We'd love to have you join our community. You can simply head to faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, or search for FaithFi in your app store. All right, back to the phones we go to Illinois. Hi, George. Thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. This is Mary. I'm George's wife speaking.
Oh, no problem. go right ahead.
Important call.
That's fine.
I was wondering what 30%, I've heard you say that we should never exceed 30% of our gross total income. And what? And so I figured when I'd done that, or the net would be 64th, what would that actually come up to each month so that we know that we would not exceed that? And the other 70, do we invest it, or what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, and perhaps maybe I wasn't clear or you misunderstood slightly, Mary, because I'm not sure where the 30% is coming from. I do often give rules of thumb. For instance, I will often say we don't want to have more than 25% of our take-home pay going to our mortgage payment, the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So if you own a home, you have a mortgage payment, you want to try to keep that total payment, including taxes and insurance, under 25% of your take-home pay so that you've got enough left for everything else. And that would give you 75% for everything else. We talked the other day about what we call the big three, which are our three largest expenses for most people in their budget. It's housing, transportation, and food. And you want to try to keep those three together, all the housing costs, all your transportation costs, like your car payment and insurance and gas, plus all the food in your budget, under 65% of your take-home pay. So you've got 35% for everything else. So those are rules of thumb, but there would be no way that you could, unless you are just living very modestly and have a pretty large income, there'd be no way you could just live on 30% and save 70, unless you were in a really unusual situation.
Well, we have our home paid for, we just purchased another home for for $320,000.
Okay.
And we just sold our present home, which is paid for.
Okay.
We are closer to 70, and we are getting $255,000 for that. And where we are moving, everything's going up a bit.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So I'm just trying to figure, how we would budget that, because you usually say 6 months worth of savings.
Yes.
So I was just trying to figure out how I can tally what we should not exceed per month or what would be within. Plus, we have a net of about, gross income total, all of our worth, like $850,000, which
okay.
we just took out, without any tax penalties or our Roth. We took out $212,096, and then out of our savings, we had $78,000, and we took out about $12,000, $13,000. I'm just trying to figure what we should not exceed.
Got it. Let's do this. I'd love to have someone help you with that, because I think having somebody who could help you look at the numbers and build that budget could, you know, really give you some peace of mind, Mary. We have a team of what we call certified Christian financial counselors here at FaithFi, and I'd love to have one of our counselors give you a call and set up a time for you and George to get together over the phone or maybe a video conference. And he or she, whichever certified Christian financial counselor you connect with, will help you set up that budget and tally those numbers and make sure you have a plan that makes sense based on the income that you have. Would that be helpful?
That would be fine.
Okay. And there won't be any charge for that. We're going to offer that to you just as part of our service to you. So, Mary, you stay on the line. We'll get your information and get one of our certified Christian financial counselors in touch with you. God bless you. To Texas, Michael, you're next in the program, sir. Go ahead.
I am a CPA of 52 years, and I wanted to comment on your speaking about the tithe.
Very good,
Malachi,
yeah.
It says in Malachi that bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings and I'll
That's
rebuke
right.
the devourer. That's God's promise for provision and protection. As an accountant, we had a rather large practice. What I've always noticed, and I've never heard this from other accountants or others, is that those people who are not tithers, they haven't given the first fruits, they haven't put God, they always seem to have more medical and casualty losses on Schedule A than any others. While your tithers, they're taken care of. God watches over them, because his promise is true that he will rebuke the devourer. So that's just my comment.
Well, Michael, I appreciate that. I mean, you've obviously lived this. This is the your experience. You're right in quoting God's word. It's the one place that God says we can test him in his word. And so I love that. And absolutely, crank it through your calculator. It doesn't necessarily make sense that we could live on 90% better than 100. And yet that's just for those who are generous givers. That's just the reality. And it's not that God is a cosmic vending machine where we only give to get. Those blessings may come in a variety of fashions and forms, but I think when we recognize the truth of God's word and what you just said, Michael, on top of the fact that it's a privilege to be partnered with God and where he's at work, and we can do that by being a pipeline, by taking a portion of what he's entrusted to us and putting it back into circulation into God's economy, it just makes sense. And there's fruit and blessing that comes from that can take on a variety of forms. But I appreciate that testimony, my friend. We're right in sync with you, and we believe here at Faith and Finance that being generous is one of the great privileges we have of stewards of God's resources. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's head to Georgia. Nick, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Rob, for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question for you. I have some credit card debt, roughly about $4,000, and I pay more than the minimum payment per month. I pay weekly. You know, I pay like $50 a week instead of the $50 minimum payment a month. My wife and I were discussing about possibly taking, because I've got a life insurance policy, possibly borrowing a loan against that to pay for the credit card debt rather than paying two separate bills and just pay the one, the one bill per year type thing, or per month, or however I'm able to do it.
Yeah.
I just want to know if that would be something that would be smart or.
Yeah, I mean, I get why you'd want to do that because obviously you're paying that back to yourself as opposed to those high interest rates on the credit card. My experience is, though, Nick, when we do that, it kind of takes the pressure off because we no longer feel the pinch of that high interest, and therefore we just get lax in paying it back. So my preference would be that you use a debt management program. You use our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to get that interest rate down. Send that same amount you're sending every month, but do it at a lower interest rate. That'll help you pay it off 80% faster. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. We'll be right back.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, advancing through the scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word. Today's Issues is American Family Radio's flagship program featuring AFA President Tim Wildman.
They're going to deny this till the Lord comes back.
Right.
And others, staff and friends of the American Family Association.
Did they leak this? Was it intentional? Was it an accident? We want more answers.
It's a part of history. You know, we need to know.
Today's Issues, with the help of American Family News, making sense of the issues of the day. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and along with my team, it's our privilege to serve you today with your questions around applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got a few lines open here in our final segment. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Virginia. Joy, go ahead. You're next on the program.
Well, good morning, and I benefit greatly, greatly from your show and greatly appreciate all the information I'm gleaning.
Well, thank you very much.
My question is, I am under contract to sell a piece of land that we have, and we will be making about a $25,000 profit. Is there capital gains on that? And if there is there anything we can do with that to avoid capital gains? And then I had another follow-up with that.
Okay, very good. So the only way to avoid the capital gain entirely would be if that was your primary residence that you lived two out of the last 5 years. But given that that's a piece of land, I suspect that's not the case. So if it's an investment property, it would be, the gain would be taxable. If it's a long-term gain, meaning you held it for more than a year, typically you're going to pay a 15% capital gain rate. Most folks do. If you're married filing jointly, that would apply to those, not the gain, but if your income, your adjusted gross income is between $83,000 and $517,000, you'll fall into that 15% capital gain rate. If you're married filing jointly and you make your adjusted gross income is less than $83,000, you would have a 0% capital gains rate. Now, if you do have to end up paying the 15%, then the only two ways around that, apart from the fact that it would be your primary residence and you'd have up to $500,000 of exclusion on it, would be number one, you give a portion or all of the property away prior to the sale. So you would move it into what's called a donor advised fund prior to the sale. You'd title it in the name of the donor advised fund or gift it to the donor advised fund. And then when it's sold, that money would go into your donor advised fund and then it'd have to be given away. And so if you wanted to use that to, let's say, replace giving you were already planning on doing out of cash, out of savings, then you could avoid the capital gains by putting the property in. So when it's sold, it's not taxable because it's already been given away. The second option is what's called a 1031 exchange, which is basically where you want to take the proceeds and invest it in another investment property. Then essentially you can kick the can down the road where you don't have to pay the capital gains now. You could roll 100% into this next property that you'd have to purchase within 180 days. And then you'd ultimately pay the capital gains down the road when you sell that property, but it allows you to avoid it paying on it right now. I've thrown a lot at you there. Give me your questions and thoughts.
Well, my question is, we've only had it 8 months, so we haven't even had it a year. So am I going to be hit harder or?
Yes. So that would be a short-term capital gain, which means you're taxed as at the same rate as your ordinary income. So whatever tax bracket you fall into, it would be considered taxable income, the gain portion.
Okay. And one more question affiliated with that is I have about $10,000 in credit card debt, and they're all two of them under 0%, you know, just for a promo. Would I be wise to take the capital gains that we are making that we don't have to pay taxes and pay off those credit cards since they're at a zero, but they are, you know, of course, going to be up next year, the promotions?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I don't think there's any reason to be carrying credit card debt. I'd love for you all, despite the fact that you're in this promotion period right now, as you said, that's going to come to an end and you don't want to have to get into the game of doing the balance transfers. And every time you do that, you're going to have probably a 2 to 3% fee on the total balance. So, yeah, I would just take this opportunity to wipe that out.
Okay, even though the money that I, if I took the money and didn't pay these off until the promotion was up, I have a 5% interest that I'm making. And would that make sense just to put most of the money or all of the rest of the capital gains in that account, gaining 5% interest, and then at the last possible moment, take the money out and pay them off?
Yes, ma'am. That's a good idea, actually. So, yeah, you could take that because interest rates are up right now and we can actually get a decent return on high yield savings. Yeah, as long as you're watching that closely and get that paid off on a timely basis once that rate's about to expire, I don't have any problem with you trying to maximize the return on the proceeds after the taxes are allocated and then paying that debt off right as that promotional period ends.
Okay, great. That answers my question.
All right.
God bless you so much.
You too. Let me just circle back to two things. One is if there is a way to wait to get beyond the 1 year mark, that would benefit you because you'd drop from your current tax bracket down to that 15%. Again, if you're between 80,000 and $500,000 on adjusted gross income, that may not be possible, but if it is, it may be worth looking at. And then secondly, if you want to do any giving out of that money, or there's giving you were planning on doing out of money you already have in your savings account and you want to do it out of this instead, you could look at putting a portion of this into a donor advised fund prior to the sale. And on that portion, and again, it doesn't have to be all of it, you could skip the capital gains on that portion. So I just want to make sure you're aware of that because that's an often overlooked tool that can allow you to pay less tax, do giving either beyond what you were planning or in place of giving you were already planning. And it's pretty simple to do.
Okay, now we are newly retired So our income, you know, of course, has dropped from what we had. So do you think our rate would still be fairly high, taxes?
Well, it's going to be somewhere between 10 and 37%, probably on the lower end. So it would, in terms of the actual rate, for this year, you know, it would be, I think the tax bracket, what is your, are you all married filing jointly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it'd probably end up being, if, is your income going to be below, 89,000?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you'd probably be at a 12% tax bracket. So not, it may even be less than, you know, than, well, if it's below 89,000 and it's a long-term gain, your capital gain would be zero. So if you could get to the one-year mark, you probably wouldn't have a capital gain. But if it's basically based on your taxable income, it would probably be at 12%. So not too bad, but just make sure you account for that and set that money aside, okay?
Oh, yes, sir. I sure will. And thank you so much again.
You're welcome, Joy. God bless you. We appreciate you calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. I might have room for one more question between now and the end of the program, although we are approaching that very, very quickly. We've covered a lot of ground today. Let me mention one thing about financial regrets. You know, pastor and author Warren Wiersbe once said, most Christians are being crucified on a cross between two thieves, yesterday's regret and tomorrow's worries. And while worry fills people with fear about the future, regret anchors us in the past. One thing to note on these two emotions, they focus things on what we can't control, the past and the future. So I want to take a moment and just hear at the end of the program before we wrap up today, let me talk about financial regrets, because I hear from so many people who are kind of stuck in this. Regrets, of course, are feelings of shame and remorse about things we've done or experienced, or maybe even in some cases, things we've failed to do. Well, in financial matters, you might regret getting into debt or buying a house that was too much for you, or not buying a house. You could regret co-signing a loan. We talked about that today. Or spending too much at Christmas. You might regret not teaching your teenager about finances sooner, or taking a loan for college, or buying that electronic item you didn't need. It could be any number of things. And they surface in our lives, these regrets, because of mistakes or unfulfilled expectations or even sin on your part or someone else's. But here's the good news. Let me encourage you with this as we wrap up today. You know, if it's a sin that's causing you to really trip up, there's a remedy for that. Jesus died and rose again to make us right with God when we turn to Him. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For mistakes and disappointments that cause regret, we can also turn to Christ. Let me take you to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Now, what if your regret is caused by someone else? Well, you can free them and yourself through forgiveness, because in Christ you have been forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then finally, Romans 8:37 confirms that we have power over regrets through Christ who loves us. So if you're burdened by regrets about the past, give them to the Lord. Here's a final word, one that you won't regret, from evangelist Billy Graham, who said, I have never known anyone to accept Christ's redemption and later regret it. Hey, I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you as we talked about how to apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Boy, we covered a lot of ground today. I'm so grateful that you share your stories with us and call with your questions. By the way, we'll do it all again tomorrow, so I hope you'll come back and join us then. On behalf of my team today, Adam Suddeth, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West here on American Family Radio, thanking you for joining us on Faith and Finance. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.